I want to encourage every one of you, treasure that. Just treasure that we have the freedom to bow into our Savior, to give Him praise for who He is. As I was sitting down to begin, just asking what do we want to talk about this week? What do you have for us? And I just kept thinking. I just started writing down notes of just things that were on my mind, things that we've been experiencing, and our Go and Tell word has been so, I think, pronounced again this year. In so many examples, we keep hearing references to it. We keep seeing opportunities. I handed a pad of paper today back to a young man among us who started writing this before he heard our word this year. He started writing his testimony, and he'd given this to me about 6-7 weeks ago. And I finally took time this week to sit down and read it. And actually last week, and man, it was just so powerful just to see how God takes a life. And he told me this morning this is only up to eight years old. It's only up to eight years old. He's a lot older than that now. So all I wrote was, continue the story. Continue the story. But this Go and Tell stuff is landed with us, and we keep hearing testimonies of it. I was watching American Idol. It must have been last Sunday night, and there was a man on there named Roman Collins. He's a worship leader. And he sang a song that said, "Never would have made it. Never would have made it." And as he was wrapping up the song, he said, "I'm gonna tell the world, no matter what else happens. I'm gonna tell the world about you, no matter what else happens in my life." And he didn't know if he was gonna continue on in the competition, he was the very last name called at the end that he was continuing in the competition. But I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, that this voice, this Go and Tell voice, is out there. So that was on my mind. We had a seminar Saturday a week ago. Just things about what Pastor Damian Williams brought to us, calling this an apostolic hub where things of God's Spirit are going to continue to be poured out, where life-affirming words are going to be spoken. And that's through us. That's through us as a people. There's a work He's done, and He's using us to do it. And we didn't ask for that. We don't deserve any of that. But He's established us here, and we know that. So that was on my mind. Just things from that conference, that seminar that we had. He sent me a message that the evening of that seminar, and he said there's a disciples making disciples ethos in this body. And he was only here for a few hours, but he picked up on that was a work that we have that's intentional, that we're called. We take Jesus' call to make disciples personally. And so, but he picked up in those few hours that there was this disciples making disciples ethos in this body. So that was on my mind. We're invited. Several of us, as pastors, were invited to a pastor's brunch that was in Salem this week. And I had seen announcements about it, and I live in Salem, but I wasn't planning to go because I'm not a pastor in Salem, and I didn't want to feel like I was intruding on a thing that I thought maybe was specifically for pastors in Salem, and I didn't want to presume anything. But Diana Winters is involved in this the group in Salem that was putting this on, and she had said specifically, "Hey, we want you and Connie to come to this," and I was like, "Okay, I just don't want to, again, I don't want to be intrusive into something that's for that region, even though I live there." But I went to it, and oh my goodness, it was just such an amazing gathering. I actually tend to avoid things that pastors are invited to. Because I don't want to be in a pastor's club, I tend to stay away from that kind of stuff. But what I loved about it is that this was just the community putting it on. This was two community groups that come together to proclaim Jesus, and they walk around Salem The second Saturday of every month, they meet in the Timberlands parking lot, and they walk around Salem, and they walk and pray. And they were simply, the whole point of the past, of the gathering was to recognize us, and, you know, I mean, I avoid stuff like that. I don't want any recognition. But what I loved about being there was just seeing the body of Christ doing its stuff right in the community where I live and hearing more about what they're doing and what they're accomplishing. And again, the go and tell word was just so on my mind as I was hearing these testimonies of what they're doing and what they're accomplishing. So that was on my mind. And I was still thinking about the Belonging Conference. You heard announcements about it. I was still thinking about just fruit from that we see already around here, from that people that conference, something about that conference, some word they heard, some mission, the ministry that they were received from resonated with them. And I'm always blessed by that. And then this same week, we did get confirmation that we're doing the car show in Salem again. You know, there's nothing particularly evangelical about us doing the car show, other than we get to touch, rub elbows, and speak to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And yes, it's a fundraiser. The Belonging makes lots of money from it, because you know, a lot of the proceeds go to this ministry. But it's way beyond that. It is way beyond the money. It is just getting to rub elbows with a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life. And we just talked about and sang about speaking Jesus. So we were going to get to do that for 4 days right downtown Salem to just shine Jesus, whether we actually say his name or just shine him through our who we are. We get to do all that. And then I just wrote, to top it off, this wasn't in my notes until this morning. I wrote it there. Connie and I and several of us got to go to see Brandon Lake. Brandon Lake is, for those who don't know, is the one that sang Gratitude, and many of you know my story with the song Gratitude. That never heard of it until I was facing heart surgery, and so anyway, we got to go there, and you know, you always wonder. You hear about Christian artists, and you wonder what's experiencing this person live. What's it going to be like? Is it just going to be performance? Is it just going to be, you know, because unfortunately, sometimes those in the Christian music realm fall into that just performing mentality, and it becomes a show rather than anything else. And boy, this was anything but that. This was just pure worship. Everything that I experienced, you know, just from afar in listening to Brandon Lake worship Jesus was just magnified even greater in real life. And he just—he's just a bow down servant, and the arena wasn't packed, but it was very, there were a lot of people there. It was just another example of the body of Christ just coming together. And he said this, and I don't know if he says this other places, but he said how he was personally ministered to by the crowd, just as the crowd just was worshiping. You know, he just took us to places in worship. So that was just. Friday night. So I had all these notes of all these things that are going on, and I just was compelled to write them down, and then I got a word from someone this week. I'm not going to share it till the end, because it just ties this message up just so perfectly. This word, but I wrote, there's just a general sense of activity in the heavenlies calling us into action and continued living on mission. And that's what he's doing. And there are many, many things and situations that will love to interrupt all of that. And I want us, before we even get into the word today, to just recognize that whatever all of these things that the Lord is doing among us, our enemy hates it. He hates it. And he will do whatever he can to stop it. He will try whatever means he has to try to shut you down, to infiltrate you, to affect your mind, to affect your emotions, to affect you in a way to keep you out of all of this that the Lord is wanting to accomplish. All he's doing, but always what he's wanting to accomplish, because we're not done yet. There's so much more. There's so much more he has for us. And there's mandates on us as a body to be proactive in the things that he has called us to do. And we don't have to look like anybody else. We don't compare ourselves and contrast ourselves with anybody else. This is the work he's doing among us. But we have to be mindful that our enemy hates every bit of it, every bit of it. And so we need to stay on top of his wiles to try to detract, to try to tear down, to try to offend, to try to whatever the thing is. So be aware of that. So then, as I was studying, I found myself in John, and I'm not going to read all of this account, but I'm going to try to give you a summary, just a little bit of summary before I get to kind of the meat of it, of what stood out to me when I was studying. So we know the account of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman at the well. We know this account well. Most of you could probably get up and summarize what it is. And I'm just going to give you some of the snippets. So he goes to this well, and he meets this woman there, and he asks her for a drink, a water, and she's a little put off by that, saying, "Well, you know, you're asking me. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You know, we're not really allowed to communicate. We don't associate." And then Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God, who is that's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So then they have this discussion. Well, what's that? You know, what's that about? What's this living water about? And so then Jesus says this amazing thing: everybody who drinks this water will never thirst again. You know, from the well, they'll thirst again. But if you drink from the living well, you will never thirst again. So that makes her curious. She wants to know more about that. And so she says, "Give me some of this water so that I won't get thirsty again." And then he says, "Well, go home and go call your husband and bring him to me." And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "That's correct. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the man you're currently with is not your husband." And so he's like speaking things about her life to her, and so then she says, "I can see that you're a prophet." And then she talks about her ancestors worshiping on this mountain. And then he, you know, talks a little bit more about worship and worshiping in the spirit and in truth. And then she talks about, she says, "Well, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." And of course, she doesn't realize she's actually talking to Messiah. And then he answers her, he says, I'm the one, I'm the one you're talking about. So then the disciples come back from, they were getting food. I was thinking about that this morning. I was looking over my notes. They were out getting food. I was like, I wonder where they were getting food. Like, because any food they'd be getting would have to be prepared. You know, they weren't stopping at McDonald's somewhere. You know, they were getting food. So the disciples come back and find him talking to this woman, which they're, I think, a little alarmed, but says the scripture says that no one dared ask him anything about that. So eventually the woman leaves and she goes into the town and says, "I met this man who told me everything about my life, and I wonder if this could be the Messiah." So then the disciples are concerned about Jesus not eating. What's interesting, the scripture says when he went to the well, he said he sat down there because he was tired. And I was thinking about that because, you know, we sometimes forget that Jesus came in human form, you know. I've read that scripture many, many times, but it stood out to me that he was tired. So that was the human part of Jesus that was on the scene, but yet he was still functioning supernaturally, speaking things of this woman's life. You know, so he was human and supernatural at the same time. So anyway, the disciples were concerned about him having food. So we're going to pick up the story, the account there. It said, "The disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' And he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' And then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?'" Still confused. It's amazing. They hung out with Jesus. They still didn't get him sometimes. I suppose we would be the same way. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." Pay attention to that. "The sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So then this account ends with this. Many of the Samaritans, so he's having this conversation with the disciples. All these people are heading his way based on this woman's story. The Samaritan woman's story. All these people are heading his way. They're looking for him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." And I want you to just think for a moment, you know, what have you heard for yourself? Now, obviously, we didn't meet Jesus in person, you know, in the physical sense of that. But what have you heard for yourself that convinced you? Because many in this room have heard something for themselves about the love of our Savior and the grace of our Savior and the power of our Savior that have caused us to believe and to begin following him. So just tuck that away. It's just a little side note. But the thing that stood out to me, and I have obviously have it in boldface, I tell you, open your eyes and look in the field. And it's amazing to me that right tucked in the middle of this account of this woman at the well, this woman who he meets, has conversation with her, she goes away, she goes and tells, and the conclusion of that is that all these people come and many people believe, but right tucked in the middle of it, talking to his disciples about food and things like that, he says, I want you to open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. And that just stood out to me for whatever reason. Stood out to me in the context of all these things that are going on, all this ecclesia that we talk about, the Lord is emerging in this place. It's ruling authorities. And we're part of that. We are part of that. And we have to protect that calling and that assignment. We have to look at the fields. And so it's funny because he said, open your eyes. There's nothing to indicate their eyes, physical eyes, were closed. So we're not talking about a physical opening of their eyes. He's saying, I want you to see something here that you're not seeing. And I want you to look at the fields. And so as I was praying about that and this just stood out to me just so richly, and I was like, okay, Lord, what are the fields? What are the fields? What are we supposed to see in the fields that we're perhaps not seeing? What do you want us to get from this? And I wrote this down. Pause for a minute. I want everybody to pause for a minute. Open your eyes and look at the fields. And again, I know you don't have a whole lot of context for this yet, but just I want you to do that just for the moment. Just look at the fields. Think of someone in your sphere of influence who is ripe for harvest. Think of someone who's on your mind who's ripe for harvest. And if you're writing notes, write them down. Make a list. One of the things that Pastor Damien talked to us about, he used the phrase, persons of peace. Persons of peace, and this reference is to people who don't know Jesus yet, but they're a person of peace when it comes to us having a conversation with them about Christ. He says, when you meet a person of peace, embrace them, spend time with them, invite them to read the scriptures with you, because they're already a person of peace. There's a lot of people that aren't persons of peace. There's a lot of agitators out there. I'm not saying ignore them. I'm not suggesting we ignore them. But I'm just referencing Pastor Damien's word. He referenced when you have a person of peace, and what's awesome was at that seminar, there was a young lady among us that day who was a person of peace, who hadn't received Jesus yet, but she came and she heard that, and she's hearing that, and she's hearing the word, and she's not opposed, and she's on her way. She's reading her word now. What fields are we supposed to see? What fields are we supposed to see? And as I looked into this, the first example I'm going to give you was a surprise to me. I think we kind of know the obvious field, but then I'll get to that later. So I'm going to share the one that was a surprise to me. I didn't think of this as a field until I started studying, and so we're gonna jump to. And again, I want to remind you before we jump here that he said both the sower and the reaper may be glad together. No one's jockeying for attention or appreciation, or everyone in the body has a part. Each one has a part. And whatever your part is, it's important. And it has value. And so we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 9. And this is where the disciples were having a discussion about who was following who. And Paul says this: "What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants." Only servants. I just want you to get that. That's all we are. That's all we are. That's all we are. What's a servant? Bow down. Bow down. Bow down. Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. That's what he does. That's what he does. He makes us grow. We plant, we water, we whatever that looks like. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Just grasp onto that today. That we're nothing. That goes against the whole culture that says, you have value. Now, I'm not saying we don't have value, but the culture builds up man and thinks that we're all that. That we're all that. And we're not. We're only servants. We're only servants. We get to be servants. Think of it that way. We get to be servants because of the blood of Jesus. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness. That I wasn't expecting to see this field. He says, look at the fields. Now, I don't think he's necessarily referring to this specific thing in that context, but it wasn't lost on me when I read that, because this field that we are, this field that we are, needs to be treasured and valued. That if we're part of his field, the next easy word he uses is God's building, and I'll get to that a little bit because there's more verses about the building, but it's the same thing. He grew the field. He grew the field, and you're in it. And he says, look at the field. So that's what I want to do for a minute here. Look at the field that we're already in. You know, as I was thinking about the gathering at the prayer thing in Salem, you know, that was God's field. I was looking at the Brandon Lake concert. That was God's field. As I was looking at the people gathered at the Saturday seminar, that's God's field. As I was thinking about the belonging, you know, that was God's field. Now, there were probably believers and unbelievers here. That's fine. But we're part of this field. We're part of this field that he is growing, and he's establishing, again, this apostolic hub, this place for ministry to just keep flowing into lost lives, into broken lives. And he said, pay attention to this field. This was the surprise field that I wasn't expecting to find as I was digging into this. In Isaiah, I was pointed to so many scriptures to talk about this field. We know this passage so well. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Boy, we sang about these things in I Speak Jesus. He's called us to this, to do this. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Not the first time we've ever seen that verse before, but in this context, a field. He planted it. He planted you. He planted us in this field together. And it needs to be protected. It needs to be protected. What do we do to protect the treasure that is one another? That is one another. It means throwing off things that hinder that, things that want to detract from that, things that want to tear that down, things that want to destroy. We know what our enemy comes for: steal, rob, destroy, steal, rob, destroy, steal, rob, destroy. Just steal your confidence, rob you of your ability to move forward, and then just destroy you, kill you. That's his job. But this is a planting of God. This is a planting of the Lord. We're part of that planting. 40 years ago, 41 years ago almost now, the Lord planted this work in New Waterford, Ohio, little New Waterford, Ohio. But Bill Warren, you said, what good could come out of New Waterford, Ohio? Here we are, 41 years, almost 41 years later, proclaiming Jesus, loving on people, caring for who all and who all, whoever he sends, whether it's into this building or into our life. Planting of the Lord. In Ephesians, this is the reference to the building. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of the household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Again, we keep having these references to the fivefold ministry. We are part of it. We are part of it. We're living it out. It's not something that's coming. It's not something that's part of the future. We are in it. We are living it out. We are living it out together, carrying out our assignments. With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And 1 Peter references the same thing. You're like living stones or being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. This is who we are. This is who we are in the field, in the field. And as that field continues to grow and flourish, my friend Sean Danks was talking about buds and flourishing today, buds and growth on trees. And he apparently talked about that in the open door class last week. That's what we are. We get to bud and we get to produce, so we get to grow and we get to have an aroma of beauty and flourish, and that's visible. That's visible. These are not things that are unseen by people who look at our lives. They can see that. It's tangible. And I guess we have to ask ourselves, what's tangible in my life? What do people pick up from when they see my life? What do people pick up from me when I open my mouth? Because it all works together. It all works together. And we're that field. We're that field. And so when he says, open your eyes and see the field, that's, again, surprise to me. I wasn't expecting to have him show us this. But he says it's important for us to see who we are and who we're with in the field. Who are we with in the field? Who are we ministering with? Who are we functioning with? Who do we like in the field and who do we don't like in the field? Because if we're all in the field, we're all part of the body of Christ, whether we like one another or not, we got to work on that. Because whether you like her or not, you got to work with one another. So, okay, I don't care if you like me, honestly, but you got to work with me. I'm not here to be liked. I'm glad some of you like me. But you still don't have to come to the anniversary party. So I won't be offended. And Karina's probably back there. Oh my gosh, we're planning for so many people and like he's telling them not to come. So here's the field that he was talking about. And this is from the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower gives those four examples of seeds that go out. And if you don't know it, Luke 8, study Luke 8. I'm not going to go through the whole parable, but he's explaining the parable. And in the parable, he says, the field is the world. The field is the world. Open your eyes and look at the fields. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here for the field that is the world. We're not here to be like the world. We're not here to live life like the world, but we're here to care for people in the world who don't know Jesus yet. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. That's us. And the weeds are the people of the evil one. And we'll get a little bit to weeds later. But the field is the world. And so when he says, open your eyes and look at the fields are ripe for harvest. He's telling them, again, in this whole context of this woman that he met at the well, who knew some things about God, knew things about the coming Messiah, but wasn't necessarily living that out. But right in the middle of this account of this woman, he tells this story. And then all these people, that she departs from Jesus and goes and tells, And my encouragement again, I've said it over and over again, this is our word for the year. It is an assignment that I didn't come up with on my own. It's an assignment, I believe, that's Holy Spirit downloaded into us and says, go do it. Go do it because the fields are ripe. They are ripe. They are ripe. So I want you to get out of your head. I want you to get out of your head. Well, what if they reject what I have to say? No, there are so many divine appointments set up because this is our word. This is our word. And I'm so confident that as we step into things that are uncomfortable for us, as we step into, how do I know whether I'm supposed to speak to that person? I don't know, but I'm confident that if the Lord said, this is your word to go and tell, that you're going to find an audience that is going to listen. They may not receive right on the spot. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about praying salvation for them on the spot that day. If the Holy Spirit orchestrates that, then do it. But if he doesn't, build a relationship. Exchange a phone number. Invite them to lunch. As Pastor Damien said, invite them to read the Bible with you. Because the field is ripe. The field is ripe. So in Matthew 9, we read more a little bit about this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's funny to me because ask the Lord. Because I don't know whether Jesus was just being a little coy, because we know that they are among those workers. We know that. Ask them. And the reality, Jesus could turn the tables and says, yeah, that's you. That's you. Oh, Lord, send out workers. Yeah, how about you? Hey, Lord, send out workers. Can you send somebody to that situation? Yeah, Jeff, how about you doing it? How about you? How about you? In Romans 1, this is Paul. And he's wanting to be with some of his disciples. He wanted to be with some of the people, and his trip was delayed for whatever reason. And he said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. You know, just stop about that for a minute, and just let's look at that verse for just a minute. That's what we get to do with one another. And I believe that's what we actually do with one another. This isn't something that we long to do. This is something we get to do, and we do. That we impart encouragement to one another. We impart whatever it is the Holy Spirit shows us to do, we get to do it. And that was Paul's desire here. And here's the reason why he wants to do it. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Boy, think about that for a minute. I mean, just pause. Again, pause. I'm asking for a lot of pauses here. Who in this room is mutually encouraged by someone else's faith sitting near you or around this room or like a few of you? No, but that's good. That's what we get to do. And so this is that's a living example of what he's talking about here. But he wanted to come in person to be able to do this. He said, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you in order that I might have a harvest among you. A harvest among you, just as I've had among other Gentiles. That he wanted there to be something produced, a planting, a field. So then in Matthew 13, Jesus gives another parable, and he says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. I'll get to that later. So I want you to think about that for a minute. They had every good intention. We should pull out these weeds. From time to time, we may have weeds growing up among us. And he says, let them grow together. Don't take it upon yourself to get rid of a weed. The Lord will take care of that. We sometimes like to take matters in our hands just like the disciples want to do. Should we do this? No. This is a field. And they're both going to grow together. There'll be an appropriate time. But I'll take care of that. I will take care of that. Sometimes when we see situations or we see confusion and we want to just fix it. We want to put our hands in it. We want to put our hands in it to try to take matters in our own hands. Don't do it. Let them both grow together in the field. He'll take care of the problem. So then we read this. Of course, you know the parables. Many of them talk about the kingdom of heaven is like. He's giving practical examples of things in their culture that they would relate to. And he says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Again, look at the fields. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Us. It's back to the surprise. It was a treasure. There's treasure hidden in the field. And I want you to look at both examples, both the world, the ones that haven't come to Christ yet, but yet are poised to when we go and tell. That are poised to when one of us waters and another sows and no one's tripping over the other to do so. We're just all in this together. We're all doing this work together, each doing his part, not worrying about who gets credit, not worrying who gets to pray them into salvation. Doesn't matter. But it's a treasure. This example, he says, it was so valuable to him. He went out and bought the field because there was so much treasure in it. And I want us to see this mission of this apostolic hub, this mission of this ecclesia, this mission of when we hear a word and there's a deposit in us and we're like, I don't know what to do with it. For a while, sit on it, pray over it, ask. And at some point, he may say, okay, move out into this word. Move out and do this. Do what I'm asking you to do. But I'm afraid. So what? Don't worry about the fear. Again, we have a word that has been given to us that he's entrusting this with us. So he's going to do his part on the other end to have the harvest ready for us. And it's all he's looking for. He says the workers are few. I don't want us to be accused of it. We only have a few workers. Now, we never have that problem here. You tell us we're doing anything and everybody says, what can I do to help? That's awesome. But we're talking about lives now. We're talking about souls. We're talking about a field that is ripe for harvest that is just waiting. Is waiting for you to go and speak. For you to go and speak Jesus as we sang today. For you to go and do that. So, I still have 20 minutes. So I get this word this week. You mean no photos? Of course there's photos in here. Because I took one. There it is. I got this word from Sam. Sam's the one who was up here giving the announcement about the belonging. And this tied this all together. I told her I thought I would likely share this. Here's what it says. The Lord is bringing about new connectors, new nerves, new blood vessels, new veins of his power. As these connectors connect, the surge will reach new places and look different than it's ever looked before, because this is a new place. And again, as I was reading this, I'm thinking, okay, we just had Saturday seminar, we just had belonging, we just had new connectors, there's new connectors, we met Pastor Damien, I'm sure we'll see him again, I'm sure we'll connect with him in new ways. I was just at this Salem Walk and Pray and was convinced that there's going to be more that we're going to connect with this. We got word that we're doing the car show again, new connectors. I'll read that again. As these connectors connect, the surge will reach new places and look different than it's ever looked before, because this is a new place. This is a pipeline extension. This is what it looks like when more are added to your number, when you are multiplied, when other pipes get into position and lock arms in the body. Greater connection will bring greater power. You will see this greater power, and it will not go out. It's not going to be a temporary thing. We're going to continue to walk in that power as we link arms with more connecting elements. It will be carried by you. That's it. Lord, I'm going to read the whole thing again. Lord is bringing about new connectors. New connectors. So think about that when you find yourself in a situation with other believers that you'd never met before. It's not accidental. It's not accidental. It's purposeful. New connectors, new nerves, new blood vessels, new veins of his power. As these connectors connect, the surge will reach new places and look different than it's ever looked before, because this is a new place. Don't worry if it looks different. Don't let that scare you, because it's purposeful. It's purposeful. And some of you are going to be in some of these places, and you're going to think, oh my goodness, that's that thing they were talking about. This is a pipeline extension. This is what looks like when more are added to your number. Boy, when I read that, just that second chapter of Acts, more were added to their number as they came together and they did things together in unity, and they worshiped together and they started the word together and they ate together and they celebrated together and they prayed together and they did these things. And this says the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And I don't know that we're seeing the daily part of that yet, but I believe that that's coming. I believe that's coming. And I don't necessarily mean walking into Abundant Life Fellowship. That's not the point. The point is to walking into your life. And whether they end up coming here is not the point at all. If they come into Jesus and they get planted somewhere, that's the greater body of Christ, and that's what's more important. When other pipes get into position, what's so awesome, and this is something I get to observe. I get to observe this as being senior pastor here, is to watch people just taking their positions. And sometimes as you're taking your position, there's struggles after you take your position, and there's struggles because it's warfare. The enemy hates it. You've taken a step, and you keep taking more steps, and the enemy hates it. But I love watching as people taking their position of being bowed down, taking their position of authority, taking their position of, hey, I'm reaching out, seeing a need and saying, I'm going to take a position, I'm going to reach out and meet that need. I love when I hear of testimonies of people just doing the work of God in the course of everyday life, and they'll come and they'll tell me about it, and they'll say, is that okay? Of course it's okay. You don't have to ask for permission to do the work of God. We're glad when you do it. We applaud that. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. That's hopefully what we as pastors equip you to do and encourage you to do. And that's just part of our part. But man, this work would never work if it was just for pastors. It works with the likes of us just and you all just doing it. The apostolic center is not going to be about us as pastors. We're part of it. But it's going to be about the people raising up and saying, I'm going to love on people in my home. I'm going to invite people to my home. I heard again of an account this week of a group that's meeting in a people's home on Saturday night, and there's several of those going on. Do it. Invite people that don't know Jesus. Invite people that are maybe on the fringes of not really plugged into a body, because there's a lot of that going on in our culture. where people don't fellowship in church any longer for whatever reason. Somebody hurt them, somebody offended them, whatever. I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time on that. I get it. But there's a whole lot of people that are kind of out there that need a place to land. And if that happens to be in a home Bible study to get them started, do it. Do it. If you're called to do it, do it. I loved when Pastor Damien said sometimes you may have people that aren't Christians leading a Bible study, and somebody leaned over and said, "You think that's okay?" I was like, "Yeah, because the Word will bring them to Jesus." You have to start somewhere. And so if a group of people that aren't believers want to have a Bible study and someone's leading it and none of them are believers, you don't have to call up Pastor Jeff and say, "Will you lead this Bible study?" Because we're not. No, study the Word for yourself. You'll find it. It'll lead you to truth. It'll lead you to truth. So now that you've heard the message, I want you to pause again. I want you to pause again. Look at the fields. Which field are you drawn to? Because it's important to know that. And there's no right or wrong answer to that, because some of you may be more drawn to say, okay, part of my assignment right now is for me to help encourage those who are already in the field that is the body of Christ. And that is absolutely relevant, is absolutely important, is absolutely okay for you to say, that's what I believe I'm called to do right now. But there's a whole lot of others that you're called to step into that harvest field out there. Many of you are already doing it. I'm not suggesting this is absolutely brand new to us. But the part that's brand new are these new extensions. These new extensions, these new ministries that are, I don't know what they look like. I don't pretend to orchestrate for God what He has in mind for us. But as you're obedient to the thing that is your assignment, you know, maybe it's a thing in your neighborhood. I've thought about this, and I've never done anything with it, and maybe it's part of this. Maybe I'm just kind of speaking out loud now about something that I have no idea is actually going to be a thing or not. But we had connection groups a while back, you know, and I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if we had all the communities around here, because we have people in all multiple communities. This church represents a lot of different communities in this region. What if we had a Columbiana connection group? And just everybody that's from here, that's from Columbiana, gather in the park for a picnic and then invite some of your neighbors. You know, what if we had a Salem connection group? What if we had a New Waterford connection group? What if we had a Newton Falls, speaking for Newton Falls, yahoo! The Kings would open their home to people in Newton Falls. I mean, we could point to every community. I thought about that when connection groups were going, and I thought, East Palestine, what a place we have to, right next door, that we get to, a lot of stuff to minister to there. And you know, again, I don't know if that's a thing or not. I'm just putting it out there because it's been on my mind ever since we had connection groups. I thought, man, we've had a New Middletown or New Springfield. I don't know which community it is, but you live up that way. You know, a connection group just to say we're gonna meet. You know, and again, if you don't have a big enough home, don't worry about your home. Go to a park. Go to a restaurant. Go to a coffee shop. And just gather and gather. There's something about crowds that draw attention. So I'm not saying we're orchestrating anything like that, but if that resonates with any of you, just do it. And if you need, like, I'm waiting for the phone call. Can you tell me everybody from here that lives in Columbiana? We might need about five. There's a lot of people in Columbiana. But don't limit it to just us. Don't limit it to just us. Because we're told to go and tell. We're told to go and tell. Now, there's something about a group of us together that will draw somebody, because Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in us. We're not trying to call attention to ourselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing fleshly things to call attention to ourselves. I'm talking about living life out with Jesus. Because we have this word now. We have this word. We don't have to make it happen. I'm not talking about going out and trying to create that. That'll happen because the Lord spoke it. And what's going to be awesome is we'll look back on it and say, oh my goodness, He spoke that word to us on this day. And however long it takes for that to unfold, we don't have to worry about that. He'll do that work. But our part is to respond to the tugs and the nudges and the things He puts on our heart and our mind. When we were at the Brandon Lake concert, I've been dealing with allergies, and I've been to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor because I have a Jesus who can heal me, and so I hate going to the doctor. And Connie's always encouraging me to go, and she's right, I should do that. But I'm always like, Jesus can heal me, He can heal me, He can just heal me. I don't have to go to the doctor, you know? And I'm not saying that like that to her. That's in my own mind. And so yesterday I was like, I was at the Brandon Lake concert and we were singing a couple of songs about miracles and power, and I'm like, Lord, just heal me. Just do it here tonight. Just do it here right now. Right now, just heal me. And we got in the car and I'm coughing, and I was like, I asked Jesus to heal me, and she said, yeah, I asked that too. I said, I knew you did. And so I was like, ah. So yesterday morning I was like, I haven't gone for a run for a while, and anybody knows me, some of my runs are like warfare runs. I run with warfare prayer in mind, and I was like, and I had a whole bunch of things on my mind, all kinds of things that I needed to pray about, and that's my go-to. That is my go-to warfare place. Is I'm just going out and I'm going to run and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fight and I'm going to, and so that was my state of mind as I was going out. And I was like, Lord, this stuff that's in me, get it out of me, get it out of me. And so I did. I did. I was like, I'm like just praying about this and praying about that. And I'm like, Lord, I've been waiting for a long time for this one. This, you're kind of delaying in this answering this prayer. I'm waiting on this prayer specifically. I'm waiting on this one. And here's another one I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on this one, Lord. And this is all going on in like a 3-mile run. So for me, that's, I'm embarrassed to say, but a little longer than I prefer. But I am going to be 65. So it was about 40 minutes, a 40-minute run. That's a terrible time for those who are runners. I acknowledge it's a terrible time. That wasn't the point. But I'm still running at almost 65, so I'm grateful for that. But I'm running, and I felt so good. I felt so good. And when I woke up today, and Connie said, "How you doing?" I said, "I feel like something left. I have a little bit of a sniffle now, but I don't have all that drainage. And I believe God is healing me. He's healing me." Because, I just don't want to go back to the doctor. Again, nothing wrong with doctors. I am not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. But I know He's a restorer. And sometimes we have to fight. And sometimes we have to do battle. And sometimes it's going to require something of us. And I'm not saying that's going to happen every time, you do whatever that thing is. But for whatever reason, I wanted to be able to get up here today without hacking and without having to spit in the cup and... Because as Connie says, that's gross. And she's not wrong. And I wanted freedom to be able to do that. And this resonates a lot, probably, with a lot of people. But open our eyes. Open your eyes. Look at the fields. What's your field look like? Which field are you supposed to be engaging in more than you are right now? And I'm not saying we're not doing it at all, because there's a lot of amazing things going on because we're already doing it. That's why part of this isn't as big of a challenge as it may seem, because we're already doing it, and we already have one another to tap into. We're not doing anything alone or without resources at our disposal if we need help. Still have 4 minutes, but let's stand. So I, when I went to the Salem brunch this week, I think it's the most beautiful program I've ever seen. It's kind of a thicker paper too, but I thought just tuck that into your folder this morning, because it represents a field of tulips. And it was just a reminder to me of how beautiful the treasure is, how beautiful the treasure is that is the body of Christ. And when we add to that number someone that wasn't part of the body who suddenly becomes part of the body, you know, I was thinking at the Saturday seminar, as I was looking around the room, and our sister Roxanne over here was at the seminar. And a year or so ago, she wasn't part of the body of Christ. And as we sat in class today, and I heard Carrie tell her story of victory over addiction, and victory over even temptation. And I heard about that, and I thought how beautiful it is, the body of Christ, when people that weren't part of the body of Christ become part of the body of Christ, and they become part of the field that we call Abundant Life Fellowship. And we have stories like that we could tell over and over again of people around the room that at once, and Jesus even said it, at once you weren't part, and now you are because of what he did. And this is what we get to do. This is what we get to be. And so, go do it. Just go do it. Do it with doubt. Do it with fear. Do it with all the things that kind of try to stop us but don't have to. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And that may be somebody that's already in the field that is about the body of Christ but has somehow gotten lost or gotten separated or gotten discouraged or gotten drawn back. I'm still so blessed that Corey extended a simple invitation to these two right here, this mother and daughter. I said, come on back. Sometimes people are afraid to come back. I've actually heard this. What if I come back and people will be mad at me because I haven't been there? They'll judge me. I said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. I can't control what anybody's going to do or not going to do, but I know this body. I know this body, and you will be embraced. You will be loved. You'll be cared for. People will rejoice. So invite someone. Check on someone maybe you haven't seen for a while. Maybe that's the field for you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for all that you're doing among us. We don't deserve even one bit of it. But you've called us into the fields to be sowers and reapers and waterers and planters. And I pray today for this body that each one will take this assignment, and they'll ask you, Lord, what's my part? What field? What field, first of all, should I be in? And maybe some are in multiple fields. I pray for our neighborhoods. I pray for our workplaces. Pray for our schools. I pray for every community that is represented in this room today, and there are many. Many, 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 that we would be light shiners in our neighborhoods, in our stores, at our sporting events, in our parks. That this apostolic hub that is here is not represented or limited to this building. It is so far beyond this building. Wherever we go. And I pray that you will show us these pipeline extensions that you are adding, that you are building onto the existing structures of our lives. That more people will know about Jesus because of it. So I thank you, Lord, for this these assignments. I look forward to seeing what you have in mind with all of it. I pray we will go out in your authority, in your power, in your love, in your grace, with your truth on our lips. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, there are lots of people here. There'll be people down here, but if there's somebody around you, you don't want to come.